God is speaking, but are you listening? Here's Pastor Jeff.
We need to wake up, spiritually speaking, to the voice of the Lord, because He speaks in that still, small voice. When you begin to sit there and get uncomfortable about your lifestyle and about how you're living your lifestyle, and He begins to convict you that you've got to turn, you've got to let it go, you've got to run to Him, because He's the only one that can deliver you from that place.
Your Spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
At the turn of the year, it's not a bad idea to take inventory of our lives, see where we're at, and what, if anything, needs to change. We'll have that opportunity today on Sound Doctrine as we again open up the book of Song of Solomon with Pastor Jeff Johnson. If your relationship with God is distant at best or strained, well, it can be healed and restored, I'm glad to say. Let's learn how, shall we? As we turn things back over now to Pastor Jeff here on Sound Doctrine.
Scripture says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. We need to get our eyes upon Him. He's leaving the 99 for the one that is lost. And He knows of those of you that are here this morning that you don't have a relationship. You're just confused by what you see on TV, confused of what you see in men's hearts, confused and frustrated over the whole thing, especially if you watch news a lot. You're uptight. You're constantly at war, and it's not a pleasant place to be in. So you need to ask the Lord, Lord, I need your peace. I need you to give me your shalom. So the Holy Spirit presence, His presence is with her. Notice this, that He's knocking and she hears the voice. And if He's knocking on your heart's door and you begin to hear His voice, my sheep that come to me, they know me, they follow me. Maybe you're one of His sheep and you still don't even know it. And yet you're here and the Lord's knocking on your heart saying, come, come and follow me. And He's calling you to take a step of faith and a change of life that will forever, ever be with you. There's hope, man. There's hope in the Lord. There's peace in our God. So the good shepherd is out trying to get a hold of her. I love that scripture. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for your flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We got to do that every morning, don't we? Put on Jesus to go to work. Like you would your pants and your shirt. It's, put Him on. Here we go, Lord. Another day. Go with me. You guide me. You use me. You have the day. You know, if you start the day out like that, you're going to end it like that. You're going to come home and you're going to go, wow, Lord, that was an experience. Wow, what a day. Unreal. You spoke to me about this, and I got to talk to this guy about that, and then, oh, man, I have so much hope, you know. Thank you, Lord, and boom, on the pillow, you're done. So here we see her, not only is she into worldliness, okay? I don't see that with what's being spoken of here. I don't see her being worldly, but I do see her at this point being very slothful in self, surrounded with me, myself, and I, only caring about yourself. She was only caring about herself. You say, well, Jeff, how do you know that? Look at verse 3. Verse 3 of Song of Solomon. I have put off my coat. And see, he's calling her. Come and open the door. Just open the door. See, that's our part. It's not a big deal. Just take the knob, turn it, and step through. And each one of us that know him, each one of us that have a relationship with him, we did that. We didn't know what we were doing, but we knew we needed something. And when we did that, it clicked. Why? Because we just came innocent. Just, I don't know what I'm getting into, but I need something. I need him to be with me. I need him to minister to me because I'm hurting. I'm come to the end of my situation. It's usually that way. We're stubborn like sheep, aren't we? Each one have our own way, and then we get in a rut. Sheep are always in a rut. And then you get bogged down, and then you think, oh, I'm going to go into the fence. The grass is greener. And then you get out, and then there's all kinds of predators and wolves, and everything's against you. And then you just look at it and say, I don't know what to do. Then he calls, and we are to listen. He says, open the door of your heart. Let me in. So notice she says, no. I've already put off my coat. How shall I put it on? What are you asking? I'm not going to put on my coat. I'm not coming to answer this call. I have washed my feet. They're clean. How shall I defile them? By getting up and walking on the dirt again, or the dirty ground. I'm not coming. I'm comfortable as I am. She's making excuses why she can't come. And we're great at excuses. Remember over in Luke chapter 14, there's an interesting little parable that the Lord gives, and it's in verse 16 of Luke 14. A certain man made a great supper. He told everybody to come, come. All things are ready for this great supper. And they all started with one assent to begin to make excuses why they couldn't come. I like this first one. He says, I bought a piece of ground, and I got to go see what I bought. Hello? You mean you bought land unseen and you didn't know anything about? Do you know where you bought it? Yeah, I think I know where it is. I'm going to go see it. I can't come to this thing. I can't come to this wedding. And that's my excuse. It was a lame excuse. And then the next one is, hey, I just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I need to go prove them. You didn't look at them? You just bought them? You didn't look at their feet, their hooves? You didn't see if they were skinny or fat? You didn't see if they had predators on them or parasites? And you didn't look in their ears or you didn't check them out? That's dumb. You bought them unseen. That's lame. Lame excuse. And then the last one is the lamest. Well, I just got married. I married a wife, so I can't come. How about bringing your wife? Hello? What are you making excuses about this for? And that's this excuses. She's making a whole bunch of them here. She said, this is my time. If I come, I have to work at getting back into my bed. Not only that, I've taken my shoes off, my feet are cleansed, and it's my turn. This is my program. This is what I am used to doing, and I'm going to do this instead of listening to your voice. And it's put off. We need to wake up, spiritually speaking, to the voice of the Lord, because he speaks in that still, small voice. When you begin to sit there and get uncomfortable about your lifestyle and about how you're living your lifestyle, and he begins to convict you that you've got to turn. You've got to let it go. You've got to run to him because he's the only one that can deliver you from that place. Over in Romans chapter 13, write this one down. Romans 13:11, and that knowing the time, it is now high time to awake. Wake up out of your sleep, out of the deathly lethargy and apathy that especially today's church is in. Because of the world, you know, it's one thing to have water, you know, the boat in the water, right? That's a good thing, boat in water. But when the water gets into the boat, that's not good. And what's happening all over within the church, the water's coming into the boat. And it's affecting the church. We're not united as we should be. We're not seeking Him with a whole heart. We need to bind together, bow our hearts before Him, and begin to really cry out. Because the more we do that, the more unified we're going to be, and the bigger voice we will have, and the bigger witness we will be. That when people come in here, they'll just sense the love of God. They just won't believe that, well, why are all these people so unified? See, God wants to bring us together. God, but He can't do that unless we're listening. He can't do that unless we really open the door and take heed to what He's saying. I think what's happening is she's depending on, you know, hey, I'm in bed. Hey, you know, I took communion last month. You know, I went to Bible study. I even went to Wednesday night. You know, and all of a sudden, here you are talking about all these things that you have done. It's almost like you're a religious person and you're being religious. And I go to church and I do communion. And, you know, I don't have time to help anybody else or to listen to the Lord to do this or do that. I've got my time and this is my time. Me, myself, and I. And that's what she's saying. I'm wanting to do what I want to do. I'm snug as a bug. No, you're more like a slug. That's what's happening. And you're kicking back, and you're distant, and you're not involved like you used to be. Come on. You were at the first one at the prayer meeting, and now you don't even go to a prayer meeting. What's that all about? You know, well, you know, I got a lot to do in my life, you know. And everything seems to be in front of what God wants for us. It's time to wake up, spiritually speaking. We've been blinded for a long time. And God is saying, it's time to open your eyes, open your ears, open your hearts, and hear my voice. You know, I was thinking about Jesus and his parents. He was just a kid. And they were going, and they're very religious, and they would always go 3 times a year to Jerusalem, make the trek. They were there, and they would go to the temple and worship and get the sacrifice and do everything that they needed to do. And they were all into it, raising their hands and doing exactly what, you know, everybody else is doing to do their worship and everything. And all of a sudden, hey, where's Jesus? Jesus is gone. And they ran through the mall, you know, looking for Jesus. They ran through, ran here, there. They couldn't find Him for a few days. Can you imagine losing your kid for a few days? But wait a minute. How do you lose Jesus when you're doing all this stuff? Because you can be religious and lose the Lord. And that's the main thing. That's why He said you've left your first love. You're not interacting. You're not having a relationship. You're not spending any time. A relationship takes time to build. And you need to spend time with Him in the Word. I mean, listen, when I was in the trade, I was busy. I worked 40 hours a week, sometimes even more because we were working in the oil fields and stuff. Hey, I had my little Bible with me. I would listen to the Christian station going to work and going home. I would take my Bible out at lunchtime. The break times, there was 2 of them, I would be with the guys because I didn't want them to think I'm weird. Because I'm not weird. I just love Jesus, okay? So they'd check me out, you know. But lunchtime was my time to feed on the food. But then we started a Bible study. And a guy came out there and started giving the word out at lunchtime. It was so awesome. I mean, can you imagine somebody in your work just saying, hey, we're just going to start a Bible study here. This job needs to get into the word. This job needs to know about Jesus. And you take that step, and they start coming out of the woodwork. And then you're going, I didn't know you were a Christian. Yeah. And the Christians come out of the woodwork when there's Bible study. And yet the other guys are listening too. So God's working. And Jesus has got to continue to be the main thing. Not losing Him. Verse 4. He says, my beloved, put in His hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels, my heart, was moved for Him. I mean, it shook me up. I couldn't believe it. He's trying to get in. He is very persistent, isn't he? I mean, how many times have you come here and just been beat up by the Lord? I know my brother-in-law, before he was saved, he would come to church, and I'd ask him after church, "Hey, what did you think?" He goes, "You beat me up so bad." I said, "I didn't do it." "Well, whatever you were saying, it was beating me up." Well, if the shoe fits, wear it. Get the conviction. Understand that God loves you. He's convicting you of your sin. Get it right. Give it to him. He died for that sin. He bled that you would be cleansed and you would receive the righteousness of God, which is in Christ Jesus, into your life so you could walk and talk with God. When's the last time you walked and talked with God? That's an awesome experience. Of course, we read his word. He speaks to us. But then we share our prayer requests, and we know we can't lean to our own understanding. We're always praying about everything because we want him involved in it. Oh, I like this scripture. I got it written down here. Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 1. It says this: "He that being often reproved," I mean, you come in here, the Holy Spirit works on you, and then you come next week and the next week and the next week. But listen to this. He says, when you get often reproved, you're in danger of hardening your neck. You shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. In other words, if you hear it over and over again, you're going to grow numb towards it. And all of a sudden, you're going to have no feeling whatsoever. That's scary. Where you're not feeling God's conviction. And you're just sitting there. "I wish this guy'd shut up. I want to go eat," and he continues with this stuff. I'm not going to shut up, because this is the word of the Lord, and he's moving, and he's speaking to many of you that you need to just get it right. And don't leave here without confessing your sins. He is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But he gets our attention, and she's definitely, her attention is God. I mean, her bowels or her feelings, the innermost part of them is just crying out. And he's moving, and she's starting to really hear what's going on. Then finally, and we'll end with this verse, verse 5, he says, "I rose up," she's talking here, "to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with the sweat of smelling of myrrh upon the handles of the lock." See, he had myrrh on him, and myrrh is that perfume. It's for burying the dead. Myrrh is used in that. It's a fragrance for that. And it's just all over the doorknob. Why? Because he was there clicking the doorknob or knocking on the door. And it was there. So when she touched the other side, it touched her. The myrrh. What is the myrrh? It's dying to yourself. So finally, he's opening the door. You see, his feelings never change for us. He loves us. He died for us. What more can God say or do than that? His feelings do not change. He just loves. But her feelings needed to change, didn't they? She was the one confused. She was the one wanting what she wanted instead of what God wanted for her. She was the one not opening the door. She was the one refusing to let him in. "If any man comes after me, let him deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me. I'm knocking on your heart's door. If you will open the door, I will come in and sup with you. I will eat with you and you with me." So she unlocks the door. It's our choice. It's your choice. We've got to respond. I mean, listen, the Bible says that today is the day. Now is the acceptable time. There's no better time to do it than this morning, as you are confronted with this very interesting way that chapter 5 is showing us that a distant relationship can be healed. It can be restored. To go all the way with the Lord, to go for it. Timing is everything. Notice at first her intimacy with her lover was not that important. It was, you know, okay, we go to church on Sunday. Same thing. You go to church on Wednesday, okay. You know, it can get so mundane. It can get kind of, you know, we don't have to go. You know, it's not important. And that's what's going on in her heart. But then she goes in. She's convicted. She opens the door. There's repentance. But this morning, we're talking about how distant a relationship can be brought close. That we can walk with Him. That we must walk with Him if we are Christians. There's no other way to be happy and blessed but through Jesus and knowing Him.
We're discovering how a distant relationship with Jesus can be brought close today on Sound Doctrine. Pastor Jeff Johnson will be right back with more. We're in the middle of a study in the Song of Solomon, and we've titled this message from chapter 5, A Distant Relationship Brought Close. It's a two-parter, so ask for both CDs when you call today. Call 800-353-7553. Catch a replay of today's Sound Doctrine by going online to sounddoctrineradio.org. That's sounddoctrineradio.org. You might also want to download our free app so you can listen to Pastor Jeff on your phone or tablet. Just do a search for Calvary Chapel Downey and look for the Sound Doctrine podcast wherever you like to listen to your favorite podcasts. With all that's been going on recently, many have questions about the rapture and second coming of Christ. Well, we have a book that we'd like to recommend on the subject. It's called A Quick Look at the Rapture and Second Coming. It's based on decades of careful research and presented in a concise picture of the end times. You'll learn about the two most important events that will take place in the future, the rapture and the second coming. And along the way, receive answers to some common questions, like what signs can we expect to see in the days ahead? Will Christ's return be literal, or is it a merely symbolic gesture? How can you be ready? Again, that's A Quick Look at the Rapture and Second Coming, available today from Sound Doctrine for just $8. Ordering is made easy at sounddoctrineradio.org. You can also call us toll-free, 800-353-7553. As you give to this ministry, you're helping us cover the cost of being on the radio. And just think, countless thousands of people are hearing God's Word and applying it to their lives because of you. You're helping to make that possible. Again, call us today, 800-353-7553, or simply go to sounddoctrineradio.org on the web. You can also start following us on Instagram at Calvary Downey. Now let's tie up a few loose ends as we close now. Pastor Jeff has a couple of verses he'd like to share with us.
So I want to end with these two scriptures, very important. One is in Hebrews chapter 3, and in Hebrews chapter 3 in verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. If you hear His voice, those that hear His voice, they follow and they become His sheep. He pulls you out of the world. He's come to give you an expected hope. Over there in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, thoughts of peace and a hope that all this craziness that is in our world is coming to an end. Many of us here this morning won't be here next year. That's a wake up. Where will you be? Life is short. Here today, gone tomorrow. James says it's like a fog. It's gone. So then he says, In verse 12 of Jeremiah 29, "Then shall ye call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you." When you finally get to this place of calling upon him, saying, "God, forgive me of my sin," and you begin to pray to him, "Forgive me of what I've done. Cleanse me." And then the Lord says, "I will listen to your prayer." And then finally, verse 13 of Jeremiah 29, "And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart."
Part two of this study, A Distant Relationship Brought Close, is coming your way tomorrow and Thursday on Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff. This program is listener-supported and brought to you by Calvary Chapel Downey.